Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it's Sunday, July 5th, and we are back for some more reviews. For us in the States, happy 4th of July. 250, y'all.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Right? But I know we also have a lot of international listeners here lately, so I'm sorry you don't understand that at all, but it's something for us.
I mean, it's crazy because we're, like, pretty young. Like, we're a pretty infant country, which that's what's crazier to me, is, like, 250 years, and it's, like, we're considered the younglings.
The baby.
The youngins.
Well, today we're doing a review of episodes 5 and 6 of Spider-Noir that is on Amazon. So getting back to that, because we took a little break because, you know, Supergirl and all the other jazz. First episode up is episode 5, Betrayal. We actually get an origin in this story of the spider. Ben Reilly's a spider. We get introduced to Dr. Fabar and her assistant, Ogden. And how they're, like, contributing to the Spider-Noir villains. And we also see that, you know, Kat still has feelings for Marco and sells out Ben to Dr. Fabar. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of this episode?
I'm whelmed, but almost underwhelmed. I don't know. It's just kind of taken more of a downturn for me a little bit. It's kind of like I kind of saw that coming, the whole twist of her. But, oh my! Obviously, it's entitled Betrayal, but, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, it really wasn't that surprising. And in this episode, there really wasn't that much that happened. So I just yeah.
Really, in both these episodes, we were kind of talking about that off podcast. How it's like, hopefully with our forces combined, we're gonna have a full episode this time.
Yeah, right.
Richard, what's yours?
I wrote I was whelmed. Like, it was fun to get back to this, but this episode is just fucking weird. It's just a fucking weird episode.
That's funny. See, I thought the second one that were, like, I was just like, this is total acid trip here. Oh, this is
yeah. Well, I'll get to that one when we get to it. But yeah, this one was just, like, tonally weird. Like, I didn't know what it wanted to be. This clearly felt like Nick Cage had a lot of input on some of the weird decisions that were made for spoilers for his origin.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm whelmed. I don't think it was a bad episode, but honestly, I'm kind of losing interest in this whole universe and TV show and all that jazz. And it's not bringing me back in.
Yeah,
which then is like the rewatchability of this is not, even if it is in color, is not, like, necessarily there. So I'm having a hard time with the whole Ben Cat relationship. They just kind of seem like an odd couple and they don't fit. And so I'm not really buying that, which I guess is good because Cat's not really there either. She's still got feelings for Marco and Ben's still, you know, reminiscing about Ruby. So it's like, okay. What's the point of moving on? There's no point.
Honestly, that Nick Cage and that actress have, like, no chemistry whatsoever.
They really don't.
Like, it is just absolutely devoid of any kind of chemistry.
So we start off with the origin story of Nick Cage as a spider. We talked about this earlier on, but he's part of that whole, the troop of people that went in to kind of, like, save other
POW
military people that were held captive.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks into a room and there's all these people that are, like, they're tied up to different insects and animals and whatever else the case is. And he comes to one that you don't realize is attached to a spider. And so he pulls the bed sheets back and this man spider thing is laying in the bed and then reaches up and bites him. And I was like, that's fucking frightening, honestly. Like,
yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah, that was, like, my, well, actually, it's the next episode that's my worst nightmare, but there was a lot of body horror stuff in these last two episodes. And yeah, we see that he has like a thorax and he has normal human legs, but also spider like limbs as well. Half of his face is spiderized. He, like you said, he was bitten by a literal spider man.
Man spider.
Yeah, a man spider. And it was just like, oh, I hate this totally. We saw that like a split second of that in the trailer, but I thought that was going to be like their version of the spider god that we got from like the comic. But we didn't get any of that. Instead, it's all science based, which part of me does appreciate because I hate this like spider god totem bullshit. But I don't know. I would have preferred just a normal spider bites him and gives him these powers. Also, when you look at some of the experiments they were running, I thought it was really funny. They had one that was like an electric eel, which I'm assuming is what we see for megawatt. And one of them was a mantis. And it made me think of Portal 2, where the Cave Johnson, the like head CEO of Aperture Science, is talking about like, well, the bad news is we shut down the splicing mantis DNA into human. He's like, the good news is we now have to fight an army of mantis men. So if you'll follow the line, pick up a gun and just start shooting.
I was kind of wondering if that was their way of doing the whole spider god, because like we even talked about when we got to that issue of that book of how the spider god in that comic, not only was it just this giant horrifying spider, but it had like human attributes to it with the, you know, human legs coming off of it. And the spider legs had like human hands, fingers and like stuff. So I kind of wonder if that's where they got that and just kind of like, oh, we're going to do it this way, though. Like, it's not going to be a spider god, but it's going to be this, you know, abomination of an experiment.
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely that is. I feel like Nick Cage absolutely wanted to do something like that instead, because he's always wanting, when you watch behind the scenes stuff, when he talks about like, yeah, I wanted to do like, I don't know, like when he was doing the Superman movie, he's like, well, I wanted to do this. And it's just like weird, bizarre, kind of like gross, horrifying shit. And it's like, bro, what are we doing?
Didn't his Superman like fight a giant arachnid?
Yes.
In The Flash?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an actual original scene that was in that script.
Yet again, why this terrible movie?
Yeah. Also, it turned, like, I understand the time. This episode weirdly starts off, just turns into, like, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty. And, which is fine, because, again, I know it's of the time during, what, World War One. And the thing, though, that I had issue with is Nick Cage is 60 years old. And he looks like a 60-year-old man trying to fight. Like, he does not. He did not look like he was very young and spry during any of those scenes.
So does this like help with the whole separating the two Spider-Noirs from the Into the Spider-Verse and this TV show? Because Into the Spider-Verse, he says he was bitten by a radioactive spider. Whereas this is totally a experimented man spider.
Yeah. I don't know if it helps separate. It does if you're really into both of them. But for the average moviegoer or the average person watching these, you're just going to see, you know, black and white fedora wearing Spider-Man. And you're like, oh, that must be the same character. But surprise, nope, it ain't.
Unless you're Jeremy and you just flip back and forth willy-nilly.
Hey, you got to make the show interesting somehow.
By just flipping the stuff back and forth. Which is another thing, too, to add to it, because in the Into the Spider-Verse Spider-Man, he doesn't see color.
Right.
Like, there's a scene where he's looking at a Rubik's Cube and he's like, it's blue. Peter Porker's like, no. He's like, purple?
Yeah, which is really cool and interesting and a funny gag, but yeah, I don't think these two, I mean, that is another thing you can add to separate, but then again, it falls to why are we making them different characters? I guess it's because he wanted to make it more scary and like they didn't want kids seeking this out, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. One of my comments was when they were talking about the whole program and stuff like that and finding all the captured troops, was they were saying, you know, it was a failed super soldier experiment or whatever. I was like, it's always a failed super soldier. Like that's like the fallback for everything. Whenever there's a bunch of people being held, it's, oh, they were trying to make super soldiers again. Yeah. And honestly, I'm surprised they got to be able to say that in this, you know, Sony Spider-Man thing.
I don't know if the term super soldier is copyrighted. So that may be why they're able to. But because I know the term mutant is, well, at least it was copyrighted. Oh, yeah. And that is why DC calls their people metahumans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know.
But that's also the reason why they were calling them like inhuman there for a little bit or something, even in like the Marvel side of things.
No, the Inhumans were made before Fox had the X-Men and stuff like that, but they were pushing out the X-Men for a bit and bringing in more Inhumans. And you know my stance on Inhumans, they fucking suck. They're lame. And I don't think they were necessarily trying to, I think, replace mutants. I just think they were trying to not give Fox enough stories they could just like use for their movies.
Gotcha.
Well, I think they also couldn't use the word. I don't think Marvel could use the word mutant.
That's what I was saying. Like,
you're talking about like in the movie?
Yeah.
Right. Because Fox had the whole like whatever on that.
Yes.
So.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking comics. Yeah, they could still use the term mutant in the comics, but movie-wise, they could not. In television, they could not. So, like, I enjoy the interrogation scene of Dirk Megawatt.
I actually
kind of like his character. When they're, like, beating the shit out of him, trying to, like, interrogate him, and then he's like, I'll tell you everything. And he says something about like how he's from Poughkeepsie and stuff like that. And then I love when Silvermane comes in and he's talking with him and he says something about like, you like to talk, don't you? And then he says, I'm a Nebraskan cornfield. I'm all ears. And Silvermane's just like staring at him. He's like, I'm listening.
Yeah. I just like the accent they give him.
Yeah.
Or he, you know, just chose to portray or whatever. Like, I enjoy that because I wish there was more people that talked like him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun, like, accent to put on. And then he does another thing where he kills a guy, and then Silvermane was just like, that was weird. It was just the comedy for those couple of scenes with him were just really funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a moment where Flint is arguing with Kat and he says to her, he's like, if I had a chance to kill Silvermane, I would have taken it for you. You know, I would have killed him for him. Killed him for you. And I was like, brother, I specifically made a comment in the last episode. You had your chance. You were on the rooftop with him basically alone. I think there was two guards, but like you're bulletproof.
Right.
You could have just been like, oops, he fell. Oh, no.
Well, and also, like, my gripe there, too, was, like, he was telling her, basically, you know, if you would have just asked me, like, given me the chance. I'm like, she did. Like, she asked you to leave, like, to go away, and you refused. So, I mean, like... It just didn't make sense. I thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, and there's also the whole, like, you could do it now.
Yeah.
Like, you're his right-hand man. What's stopping you now from doing it?
You're literally alone with him in a room.
Right.
Yeah, it's an easy plot hole that you could have, doing it once over, been like, maybe we should change this, take this out or something. I don't know. The other thing that I just find so fucking weird is Nick Cage in this episode, because like there's a moment where he sneaks in to the doctor's office and he eventually finds secret files hidden.
Yeah.
And then the doctor comes in and she's like, "What are you doing in here?" And then he does his, which we've seen in previous episodes, where he puts on a different character to get out of the situation, or, you know, get where he can find some more information, whatever it may be. In this case, it's to get out of the situation. And he just acts like a crazy person. But it's just so over the top. like he keeps repeating that word. He's like, "Oh, you're looking for whatever doctor on the second floor." And he's like, "The second floor, the second floor, the second floor, the second floor." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, please, like, can we end this scene? Like, what is happening?"
Oh, see, I didn't mind that too much. I thought it was funny.
It really bothered me. The other thing that I absolutely hate, and Sony keeps doing this in all of their Spider-Man movies, is Spider-Man has the magic blood that they need. Spider-Man's got to have, we've got to get Spider-Man's blood, because if we have Spider-Man's blood, we have the key to curing cancer or feeding the poor or whatever the fuck they want to say it does. But like, I'm just like, can we please stop doing this as like a trope at this point for Sony Spider-Man movies?
But they fixed it in the next episode. It's not his blood.
It's his liver?
It's liver enzymes or something. I don't know what the fuck they took from him, but it wasn't his blood.
I think it's just supposed to be his like DNA. But yeah, like it's just so dumb. I hate it. Like they did it with, I'm trying to remember. I think they did it in the Tobey Maguire one. I know they did it with the Andrew Garfield one. I'm kind of worried they may do it with something in this new one, but I'm not sure. I doubt it, but they may. It was in the cartoon, the like 90s cartoon, that was a whole thing, needing Spider-Man's blood to cure, I think, Morbius or something like that. So I was just like, oh, can we please not do this anymore?
Hey, that's what they need to save the Spider-Verse. The Sony Spider-Verse. They just need Spider-Man's
fuck
blood.
The Sony and then Spider-Verse.
I was waiting for you to comment on Nick Cage's, like, apparently when he gets bit by the spider, it tries to turn him into an actual spider.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently a spider wants to move its arms certain ways or what. And so like he can't control himself. And I'm like, why the fuck are we doing this? What the fuck is going on?
Was that in this one?
I thought it was. Maybe I got it mixed up.
I think it's in the next one. Yeah, it's the next one, because I wrote down, what the fuck? He has like a dead bug pose where he's like laying on his back with his arms and legs kind of like a dead bug upside down. And then he does like a praying mantis pose, the like crouching tiger, hidden dragon kind of thing. And then he's just like tweaking all throughout that episode. Again, it's that like he's knocking at the door moment with Ghost Rider in the, I think it's the first Ghost Rider. I can't remember which Ghost Rider. It's literally been memed to hell and back. But it's when he's like transforming into Ghost Rider. He makes like, he's knocking at the door. It's just like fucking, it's a weird take. And it's like, Nick, can we please just tone it down a bit? Like, can you not make things so weird all the time? Like, I like his movies, and I like his weirdness in like weird movies. Like, what is it? Pig, and I'm trying to think of the Long Legs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It works for those movies. But when it's something like this, I'm just like, nah, this ain't for me. What are you doing? We kind of slightly talked about it, is I just wrote, wow. Cat sold him out within 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Within 2 seconds. Yeah. She was like, nah, I'm going to rat him out.
they were making plans, getting ready to go and to wherever and get a new nightclub. She was going to be the star of it. They were building a life together.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little hope for Flint. And she was like, Ben got to go. Ben's got to go.
That was crazy to me. Yeah. I was just like, damn, girl, you move on quick.
And just jump back and forth.
Yeah.
It was just a fling.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. It was barely a fling. It was just a... The only fling was she flung herself out a window.
Episode 6, Nightmare on a Gurney, which honestly pretty much describes this right. whole episode as well. My made-up synopsis was, Bid has a bad acid trip in a black market lab.
Yeah. Jerry,
what's your whelming?
I was underwhelmed with this one. It's just weird. Again, like it was just not a whole lot happening. I mean, you get to see a little bit more of his origin, but I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. Richard?
I wrote, I was grossed out.
Because the spiders coming out of the cut?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yes. Because I have both body horror issues and arachnophobia. So this episode was like, let's combine them into both.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I was, I don't know, whelmed, underwhelmed, it doesn't matter. I was totally lost at this episode. I didn't care anymore. I was ready to be done. I feel like I'm taken so far away from the story now that I just don't care anymore. And I'm just ready to be done. So I guess underwhelmed is solid on that, because there was nothing exciting, nothing that it just felt like a total sidetrack.
Yeah.
Like, all this was to get to, so, spoiler alert, Dr. Fabar actually does make an antidote to be able to cure, I get possibly all metahumans, but I don't even know if that's even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben gets it after it's been proven to work on her son, Ogden. Thank you. Who was part of that whole, you know, army troop that went in or was being saved. I apologize. But his mutation is that he gets old fast, like Benjamin Button style.
Yeah.
So
they mentioned it in the previous episode, how it was a super soldier experiment. And I was like, yeah. What was his power? The power to age. Like quicker than normal.
The power to not need an ID.
The power to have bad knees real quick.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just totally just took me out of it.
Yeah.
Not needed at all, in my opinion.
I think it was needed, but I felt like that these two episodes could have been merged. You could have cut a lot of the fat out and merged it into one episode. Because
I completely agree.
Yeah, you just needed this for his origin story.
Yeah. It was just a combination of the two, and it just seemed like they just put so many weird, like that whole him being a bug, like that vision of him being a bug or whatever, a spider, and everything being bigger. I'm like, this just is stupid. Like, we don't really need this.
Yeah. Talking about when he's like really small. And he's running around like he's the size of a... I'm like, why are we doing this? Yeah.
I'm telling you, this has Nick Cage written all over it. I understand the symbolism that they're trying to show is he feels like the spider inside of him is trying to overtake him and all that stuff. But like, they visually show it in the weirdest way possible. And it's just like, nah, like this would be fine if this was like a stage play, but like, nah, I'm good.
Well, and it also threw me off because that Ogden, went by to go talk to Riley to see if he could convince him to come down instead of like having to drug him like he did.
Mm-hmm.
No spider sense at all. Like,
oh yeah, that's true.
No spider sense went off, and it's been going off all season, just about in random weird moments. But when he's about to get stabbed by something, nothing goes off.
That's a damn good point. That's a nice catch. Yeah, that's fucking stupid. That makes me so angry now. It makes me angry that I missed it, like, at myself. And then it makes me angry that, yeah, like, he should have absolutely been like, whoa, what the hell's going on right now?
Right. And, like, because his has been so off and, like, a pain in his neck or whatever, like, it still could have happened. But mm-hmm. it should have gone off.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Again, the thing that I find so fascinating is this show really isn't a Spider-Man show. Nah. It's more of a noir show with weird body horror, like Spider-Man, very adjacent, like very like it laid next to a Spider-Man story. Like it didn't, like it was seasoned with Spider-Man things, but not really a Spider-Man story. And
yeah,
especially because like, oh my God, I want to talk about it again just for a second. That was my fucking nightmare when they cut him open. And all of these spiders come out of him, and then they're just like crawling down and they're like spinning their way. I was just like, ugh. And then again, we see the man spider creature with its gross thorax, which my wife and I were debating. We're like, so was that like his penis, or did it like grow out of his penis, or like how did that thorax get there? But yeah, and then we see all the gross failed experiments in these like cryo tubes or whatever, these tanks.
Yeah.
At the end. And I was just like, nah. Nah, this has turned weirdly into, it reminds me of the scene from Alien Resurrection where she goes and like Ripley goes and finds out that she's a clone, and but she's like number 10 of something of these clones, and they're all, it's all like that. It's just like gross deformed clones in like a big tank that are like dead and floating, and it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's horrifying for me. It's just like
That's funny. I really have nothing to say about this episode. Like, it's just so boring to me. It really is. Right. Like, we already talked about the Nick Cage doing the weird spider stuff. Like, he did it several times, walking down the hallway and whatever else. And then, like I said, the whole, like, spider sense threw me off. What was so special? Like, why the liver? Like, of all the, like, it's almost like they were getting ready to start harvesting his organs. Faber was.
I think that's what they were going to do.
Yeah, and they started with the liver. Like, why? I guess because...
I don't know, to be honest with you. Someone smarter than me could tell you, probably because it stores a lot of, like, DNA in there or something. Maybe it's due to the, I don't know, all the drinking that they do during this era. And it grows really big. And they're just like, well, we'll cut off a slice. He won't miss it. Like,
I feel like Gigawatt's probably my favorite of all the henchmen. He is more of like the hothead of the group or whatever, but yeah. His whenever he's on scene, he seems to be my favorite whenever, because I know that there was an interaction between him and Dr. Faber, and he winds up killing not only Faber but the son as well. And did y'all think that the cure was going to work? That was one question I wanted to ask, because I was sitting here watching it and I was like, he's going to turn young and then he's going to go deformed and then he's going to die.
Yeah, I honestly wondered if something like that was going to, like, where they would have a moment of relief and, like, all excitement and that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden it turns. I was sitting there waiting for it to happen, but it never did. I was like, oh okay.
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't seen enough of it, so who's to say that it won't actually be a cure? Because, like, she just gave it to him, and then he was young. And they've spent all of maybe 30 minutes alive and then he dies. So it's like, we don't know what lasting effects of this quote unquote cure, but for the sake of the show, I'm going to say it is, because it's going to be this whole moral thing of like, should I still be Spider-Man or should I, you know, abandon all of my responsibilities to have the life that I want, which he's, it's Spider-Man. He's obviously going to take on the responsibility, or maybe he won't. Maybe they'll just completely fuck up and he decides to say, fuck this and go his merry way to Bora Bora, wherever he was.
Without Cat?
Yeah, without Cat.
Ugh.
I don't know if it's this episode or the last episode with him and his assistant that I cannot think of her name.
Janet, yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool where they're sitting down and he's like super happy and he's wanting to order like all the breakfast. And then he tells her that he's leaving town for good. And she's like, is it due to Cat? And he thinks she's going to give him, you know, shit about it. And then she's like, I'm happy for you.
Right.
I thought that was a cool moment.
Yeah. I felt bad for Janet, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Great Depression, and now she's, like, jobless. He did leave her some money, but I don't know how much that is. I couldn't see how much.
I was going to say, it looked like a good wad of money. And he told her she could keep the thing, that she was a better PI than he was. So,
which bugs me, because it's true. Because, like, both him and Robbie are, like, better investigators. Or not him. Both Janet and Robbie are better investigators than the freaking PI. Like, I was just like, Ben, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's getting too busy entangled. Freaking infatuated by Cat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The only good thing that I can really say about this episode is there was one shot that they did where it almost looked like panels from a comic. It reminded me very much like how Ang Lee's Hulk, which I know gets a lot of shit online, but it's one of the few things that I liked about that movie was how they did the little cool, like, scene on scene, like picture in picture, whatever you want to call it, where it looks like a panel of a comic, or it looks like a page from a comic with multiple panels. They did that for this episode. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I'll give them that. I'll give them one.
Yeah. Good on you. Cause I don't know that I can even give them one, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of turned, I don't know, we'll see till the end, but as of right now, it's kind of, it's kind of just meh overall.
Yeah, really, like, because that was part of me that was interested about getting back into the, you know, after we've been away from watching it for a couple weeks, and, but now I'm just like, oh. I don't know if I really care to finish this.
You monster. We've already talked about this. You can't just not do that.
I know. It's just, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. Well, we've got only two more episodes, so there's the plus side. And being how, again, this is the most expensive Spider-Man thing ever, I don't see it getting a second season. And I wanted something where it was more in tune with like a Spider-Man comic, but with like murder mystery and trying to figure out this one mystery throughout the entire season. But it was him using his spider powers to investigate. And then like, oh no, he, you know, whatever, runs into Sandman while he's at a factory investigating this mystery or whatever. And he's got to fight Sandman during that time. Yeah. And instead, it's just, I don't know, it's just tonally all over the place, and I don't like it.
I really hope that these next two episodes are going to be better, because, like, we got to have something here that lifts the spirits, because after last week and then this week, I'm like, all right, we got to have something that's like, come on now.
Well, I've got bad news, Jeremy. I may have to wait till
the end of the month for something actually hopefully decent to watch.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is crazy, because I heard there was so much praise for this TV show when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it must have been Honeymooners or something, because being on the back end of it and having taken a break in between, like, it's just, I'm with you, Jeremy. Like, it is losing my interest fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what the reviews were because we've been doing all sorts of other stuff, but just looking at it objectively as a noir story, I don't think it's a great noir story. I don't think there's any kind of cool, solvable mystery. It seems like, I don't know, it seems almost episodic, even though it's not. And
yeah,
it's just kind of meh. It's just very meh to me. It's very middle of the road.
Yeah. I feel from here, the next two episodes, somebody's going to get cured, probably Gigawatt, if I had to guess, because he's kind of a nuisance, or he's going to die. One of the other.
I think he's going to die. He looking Marco, veiny as fuck right now.
Yeah, he is. Marco probably gets cured as well to be with Kat, which then leaves Ben lonely again at the very end with Janet doing PI work. That's the only other way. Because, like, you can't give Tombstone the serum. Can't stick a needle in him.
Yeah, he could probably, like, drink it or something. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. And he's the worst out of all of them. Like, his face is all kinds of fucked up. Like, he needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Gigawatt's starting to look really fucked up now, in my opinion.
Like veins or whatever in his face and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, he at least doesn't look like he has ball bearings buried in his cheek and forehead and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he looks like, I don't know. He looks like he's got varicose veins all over his body.
Cool. Y'all got anything else?
No, that's really it. It's such a short. When I watched these two episodes back to back last night, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be the short ass episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same.
Yeah.
But oh well. Maybe we'll have more to talk. Next week is the season finale. So, hopefully. Hopefully, Jeremy gets the ending he's looking for, and we're able to talk about it and have a good time and really end this on a good note. Otherwise, it won't matter, really.
Yeah.
Because,
you know,
we'll still be here.
Yeah.
We'll still be here waiting on a brand new day.
Damn it.
In the meantime, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitch under the handle Night Fury GTO. That's Night with a K. And you can find me here.
Awesome. Richard?
I'm not ready. If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, an Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry, Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see, and Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22 Comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did making it. With all being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.